Well, if you have your Bible with you, open the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 this morning as I try to continue our thoughts through this. I tried last week to come to you and present the personal care that God puts into our everyday lives. I've enjoyed the studies of seeing God and creation and learning more of Him and learning more of mankind. But I've just really enjoyed and been impressed and humbled and thankful. I've thoroughly enjoyed seeing God's hand in the lives of His people. As I tried to show us that, yes, God created man personally and He was personally mindful and careful of how He made us and created us, and I'm thankful for that. But to see His personal hand and care in the everyday lives of His people, that's impressive to me. And it's not necessarily something that I didn't know, but it's just to spend a little time thinking about it. To understand who God is. God is not, as some would have Him, just some benevolent being in heaven that sits back and is just waiting on what's going to happen next to see how He's going to have to intervene and how He's going to have to overrule, and we'll worry about God when we get there. That's not God. God is personal. God is mindful of His people. He's not just Grandpa sitting in heaven in his rocking chair handing out Werther's Originals. He's not a man in the red suit that's just knows when you're awake and knows when you're sleeping and watches everything. This is God. The Creator of the universe that has personal care and concern for me and for His people. I tried to show how He created man and gave him the authority that he needed in this life and gave him the dominion that he needed in his life. And he saw a need, and man needs a place to dwell. They need provision. They need care. So God planted a garden. And not just throwing a bunch of seeds out there, casting out. A long time ago, my little girl, she bought a packet of those wildflower seeds and just throwing a bunch of seeds in the dirt, and nothing ever grew. God didn't just walk over and cast a bunch of seeds out just to see what happened, but He personally chose what would grow there. He planted everything that was good for the eyes and good for food. Everything, not just one or two, but everything that the man needed. He saw a need and he saw to it that it was fulfilled in planting the garden, and then he took the man and he placed him there. And that's where I want to pick up today, starting in verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And God said, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." I want to stop there. This morning I want to see how God continues His personal care for man. Put yourself in the place of Adam here. God saw the need of him needing a dwelling place, and He fulfilled that need and He gave him everything that he needed. He planted this perfect garden, a beautiful place. Tried to get that point across last week of how beautiful that place must be. How fragrant and gorgeous. Of everything that was needed. A perfect paradise. As we look at it. How good Adam had it. And God placed him there. What we see is beautiful and gorgeous. But God looked on it. And saw a problem. He saw an issue. And I've stressed many times throughout all of this, all the way through day six, everything is good and very good. But here, still on day six, God looks at the conditions of man in His perfect garden, in the God-given place of His dwelling. This is important. Men and boys, I'll just give y'all a little forewarning. This is about us today. Real heavily. This is God's perfect dwelling. This is where God wanted Him to be. And God saw to it that He was there. And still saw a problem. God knows what we need far better than we do. See, my wife loves beaches. She does. They drive me crazy. It's hot. And sand annoys me. But she loves them. But you have a perfect, beautiful little island. Got the waves crashing. But you're there all alone. It'll quickly turn into a deserted island. I watched a movie where a guy started talking to a volleyball. God knows what we need. God looked at His perfect place for the man to dwell and to work and to be fulfilled and to be provided for by God and said, there is a problem. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. There's no record of Adam complaining. There's no record in here where Adam said, where's mine? Why am I here by myself? Was Adam truly alone at this point? He's surrounded by all of God's animals, all of His creatures that God had given and put on this earth. He's got a relationship and is talking and communing with God Himself. There's a multitude of angels already created and surrounded Him. God is here walking and talking with Him. But still, by God's decree, He said it's not good that He's alone. More of God's personal care of our everyday lives. He sees the problems that we don't even see. I imagine Adam is still walking around just awestruck in the beauty of the place that God had provided for him. And just, he's totally lost in it, but still God knows there's an issue and He says, I'm going to fix the problem. God knows what we need. He declared the issue. This is the only sinless thing that's decreed is not good in Scripture. There is no sin in being alone. Now, I want y'all to know that. There is no sin in being alone in this life whatsoever. But God declared it to be not good for the man to be in that condition. So He says, I will make a help meet for him. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. That kind of caught me as I was looking at this in the last week and trying to get ready of where would I go next. I'm trying to get to marriage and I'm going to get there. Because that's taught here in Genesis chapter 2. God designed marriage. I'll throw this out there. This ain't even what's on my mind this morning, but I'll put this out here. God designed marriage. God set it up. God decreed it and designed it and put it together. And He said it is one man and one woman and nothing else works. That's by the word of God and nothing that man or earth or heaven, anything that declares otherwise is contrary to God. Whatever this world throws at you that this works as marriage, if it's not according to this, no, it does not. And it doesn't matter what law of the land puts it out there, this is marriage. One man, one woman. There's no other choices. Y'all got that for free, and it's just a foretelling of what's to come. But it caught me when He says, I will make a help meet for him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Up until now, I have been looking at man as the broad spectrum of mankind. Man can mean one man, or it can mean all of mankind. That's why it's important. There's another freebie for you. This is one that Dad bore down on me real hard about. In the New Testament, when it says there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, it is of utmost importance that it says there's the one mediator between God and men, not God and man, because man is one man or all of mankind. Men is a select group, a set number of men. When I say I talk to the men of the church, I'm not talking to everybody out there. I'm talking about these men. Jesus Christ was not the mediator between God and all of mankind. He was the mediator between God and His elect. That's why it's very important when it says God and men. There's a difference. Now, up until now, I've been looking at man at the broad spectrum of mankind. God created mankind. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And He truly created all of mankind in the image of God because of the concept and the theological teaching that I touched on. Like begets like every time. Because He created Adam in His image after His likeness, all of mankind is in His image and after His likeness. And that's how I've been looking at that up until now. But this morning, I want to look at Adam. I want to look at this man. I want to look at his life. I want to look at where he is. Because this is the man that God looked upon and said that this man is not good alone, and I will create this man a help meet that is suitable, fitting, becoming to him. This is the man, and this is the point I'm trying to get to. This is the man that God looks upon and says, this man is ready for marriage. This man I will give a help suitable for him. Adam as our example. Ladies, I'll get to y'all later. This morning is very heavy on us. Adam's not married yet. This is what God said he needed to be before he was married. So you look at Adam and consider his place. I look at my life. Like I said, I'm wanting us to compare. Y'all pray for me this morning. I'm not good at this kind of preaching yet. So y'all pray for me. But I look at Adam and I compare him to my life, and I know the calling that I feel. I know what God's called on me to do. But when I first got started in preaching, I was reminded many times by many of the fathers in my ministry telling me, God called you to be a husband and a father before He called you to be a minister. I can't put aside the fact that I'm called on by God, and it's taught right here, to be a husband and a father. But I'm also called to be a minister. I'm also called now to be a pastor. I've got a lot. Y'all carry this out with me. I'm not complaining. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to it. But I got a lot. Men and brethren, we got a lot. We're called on by God to be husband. That's across the board. We're called on to be fathers. That's across the board. It feels like a lot. I got to hold down a job and support my family and take care of them and see to it that there's food on the table, a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and this world's hard and work is terrible, and we can thank the fall for that. Work was around before the fall. It's not a part of the curse. Adam was working long before the curse came. Commandments are not part of the curse. Adam had commandments long before the curse and the fall came. But work is terrible. It's hard sometimes. I dread getting up and going to work. And I feel like there's a lot on my shoulders. But consider Adam for a minute. You say that we feel alone in the world. This man was alone in the world. Sometimes I look back on my life and try to figure out where I came from. Put yourself in Adam's shoes. He didn't even have a mom and dad to look at. People were spending all this money trying to figure out where they came from. I got scripture. I came from Adam. There's my heritage. This man is created by God and given the commandments not to subdue and to replenish his family. I'm called on to subdue and replenish my family and my household and to be here with this little group. But God called Adam to subdue and replenish the earth. To dress and keep the perfect garden. I'm called on to pasture this church, and we're not perfect. Never will be. I'll just go ahead and tell y'all that. Adam's called on to dress and keep the perfect garden. Planted personally by God. Grew up by God. And this man's put in and said, you are in charge of dressing it and keeping it. Adam, you see this earth. You are called on to replenish it. That's to fill it. You are called on to subdue it, to rule over it, to keep it, to protect it, to defend it. I think there might have been a little weight on Adam's shoulders. I feel heavy with my little household. He literally had the weight of the world on his shoulders. It's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult to be a man. That's putting it honest. But it's what God called on him to do. And that's what he did. So let's look at it. In verse 18, God said, it is not good for the man that should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the garden, Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. This seems like a really odd order of things. I was talking to Brother Gary about this last week. It seems really odd. God looks at Adam and says, it is not good that this man be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And then he starts bringing a bunch of animals in front of him. It seems like an odd order of things. But then I got to thinking about it. This sets up a standard and sets up an order of things that God does over and over and over through Scripture. He looks at a man and says, I'm going to see to it that this happens. And then there's that wait before God fulfills it. We see this with Abraham. Tells him, get up out of Ur of the Chaldees. And I will take you to a land and I will give you a promised son. And the man waits years before he ever has that son. Past the point of being able to have that son. God has a habit of doing things in his time frame. But there's more to it than that. Adam has been called on to subdue and to have authority and to exercise authority, and God gives him an opportunity to do that. To see what he'll do. See, God is not looking at all of creation to find Adam a helpmeet. God's not looking for his helpmeet when he starts doing this. Now, see, this is a special occasion here. This is a special happening. He says that God begins to form from the ground every beast of the field. This is a separate creation from the previous. You go back and look at the days, the birds came from the sea. The creatures and the cattle and the creeping things came from the earth. But it says here that God began to form all of the creatures from the dust to the ground and brought them before Adam to see what Adam would call him. That seems like a small thing. It seems like something I look at and I say, wow, Adam was a smart dude. This isn't some knuckle dragging, barely painting pictures on a wall Neanderthal that just grunts when he looks at people. That's not what day one of man looks like. No matter what the movies or science try to make it be, man on day one was not grunting at each other. This was a smart man. God began to form and bring before him all of the creatures, and he says, that's a duck, that's a goose, and begins to name them all. Maybe he ran out of names when the duck-billed platypus come before him. It amazes me how smart he was. But then when you look at what's really happening here, it's much more than that. You go back to the beginning of creation, when you look at God, being God over all things, he says he created the heaven and the earth, and he called the night, the darkness, night. He called the light, day. He called the dry ground, earth. He called the gathering of the waters, seas. He named the stars by name. God was exercising his dominion and authority over his creation. It takes authority. Only myself and my bride could name my children. No one else had the authority to do that. It took one of us to put their name on that birth certificate. No one else had permission to do that. It takes authority to name something. God was exercising his authority over what he rules over. You want to know who rules over the universe? It's God, not man. Who named it? Who rules over the stars? Who named them? God. Who rules the seas? It's not man. It's God. But when it came to the things of this earth, God says, Adam, you've got a job to do. You have authority over this earth, and you will exercise this authority over this earth. And he gives him an opportunity to do it to see if he will. And Adam exercises his authority and his dominion just as God told him, you have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle and the creeping things. And God began to bring them before him, and Adam says, that's a duck. Nobody's going to call it anything other than a duck because Adam said so. And God honored man's authority. God's watching. You see, it caught me strange. Why did he say, I will make him a help meet, and then start bringing him a bunch of animals in front of him? And says there was not a help meet found for Adam. Was God looking for one in nature? No. He was showing Adam, you won't find it here. I've talked to you boys. I've talked to you men. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy camping far more than my wife. That's not a coincidence. We as men, we tend to have a given to wanting to be outside and be involved in the outdoors. This is where we got it from. I've heard it said many times, I can find God in the deer stand just as well as I can at church. No, you can't. There's a place for it. You may see him. You may enjoy him. I've done a whole lot of praying to God and worshiping God in deer stand, but this is where I belong. God wanted Adam to see. And brethren, we can't find that we need in this world. We can't find it in nature. That already surrounded Adam. He was already covered up with all of that. He had all of that in his life. And God says, you're alone, Adam. We can't look to this world to find our fulfillment. I can't look to this world to find what it takes to fulfill me in this world, let alone in eternity. Ecclesiastes says that all of us have a God-shaped hole in us, just to put it simply. He says, I look to women to fill it. I look to the pleasures of this world to fill it. I look to money to fill it. I look to work to fill it. And nothing could be found. Only God could fill that. When it comes to you being alone in this world, nature's not going to fix that for you. And God wanted Adam to see that. Adam looked upon all of creation. He brought all of the creatures before him. And Adam declared their names, and God held them to that because it was Adam's authority. And says there's not a helpmeet found here for him. He says that I will make him a helpmeet for him. God was putting Adam to work. And this is the man that God said, you're ready for marriage. This is the man that God said, I will make him a help suitable for him. Many times we look at this section of Scripture and we look at the wife. God made a help meet for him, and we just look at what God created woman to be for man, looking at man as being the broader spectrum. This is what a woman's supposed to be. But we need to first slow down and realize that God's dealing with man first. He's dealing with us. Before we ever get to the marriage, he's dealing with who we're supposed to be before we even start looking. This is heavy. I'm not good at it. I wasn't good at it, and my wife had no business marrying me, I'll tell you. I still question it from time to time. But I'm glad she's foolish. But this is God's prerequisites for marriage, for the man. Found here in Genesis. First, Adam had a relationship with God. Adam visited and communed and talked and discussed things with God. He sought God for his direction, and he followed that direction. That's far more important. I've heard it said, and it's true, the devil doesn't care that you have one of these. The devil doesn't care that you're sitting in the pew this morning. He only cares when you start acting like it. It's one thing to have God's direction in your life. It's something totally different to follow God's direction in your life. See, Adam was not only communing with God and conversing with him, he was listening to what he said. Adam, you have this authority, you have this dominion, here's the opportunity. And Adam acts on it. First and foremost, he had a relationship with God. You'll find this throughout Scripture. You want to know what you need to be a husband? You need to be a man that fears God, that seeks His face, that seeks His direction, and is willing to follow the order of authority. Yes, you as a man, you as a male of the species, you have authority in this world, you have dominion in this world, but you yield to the superior authority. Adam had authority and dominion over this whole earth, but he still yielded to his father. He still yielded to God, his master, and was willing to put himself aside. I can only imagine the pressure on his shoulders, but he didn't run. He wasn't out running around the garden and just having fun. When it was time to go to work, he was there. Prerequisite number two, he had a job. He was willing to work. He was willing to act. He was willing to do. That's needed. We see the fall and the come apart of society of everybody's just looking for a paycheck. Nobody wants to do something to get it. I've been looking for mechanics for months. you can't get no one to apply. And when they do, they barely show up and they just want to go home early. We got to work. We're called on to work by God. And Adam was willing to do so. He was willing to act on what God called on him to do. And he was acting on the authority that God had given him. Ladies, don't be looking for some guy that's not willing to act on what God told him. The man that's ready for marriage is one who knows he's a man of God and called on to do these things, and he will see to it that he does so and will follow. This is a high order. I know that. But it's what God calls on us to do. It is men to be ready to work and to exercise the authority that God has given us. When we get into when he's a husband, we'll see how that is exercised. But right now, it's just doing it in your own lives and ruling over yourself. And that's hard enough. I'm told that I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be a pastor here if I can't rule over my household. If the bishop cannot rule over his household, he will not be able to rule over the church. The same goes, you will not be a husband. And I've done one marriage, I've done one wedding. And this is what I told him, standing there with his hand on the book. And it's by God's decree, and it's shown right here in Genesis, you cannot and will not be the husband that she deserves until you are first a man of God. Rule over yourself. When you've got yourself in control, then you're ready to work with someone else. That's why God didn't just say, this man's alone. There's a woman. He first needed to exercise his authority in his own life. In keeping his own life. And that is probably the hardest thing you will ever do. Because see, Adam had it easy. He was all good. His flesh was good. I can't imagine that situation because I've never lived it. I look forward to a day I will. But I've not lived that yet. It's hard for us. We've got flesh that wants to do nothing but evil. But we're called on to rule over it. That's the authority that you're given, is to rule over yourself. That's why God regenerates you when you're a little bitty, so that you can exercise this. That's why we're told in Scripture that it's good for you to take up your yoke in your youth. Solomon says so, and he was the wisest man on earth short of Jesus. It's good for you to take up your yoke in your youth, because the longer you go in waiting, the harder the habits are to break. Take it from experience. These are God's prerequisites caught all the way back in Genesis for man. This is the man that God said is ready for marriage. It's a high order, but I want y'all to know it. He's a man of God, called to work, willing to do the work, and exercising the authority that God's given him in his own personal life already. Now that he's here, now that God sees he's there, now that Adam has seen, I can't find it in this world. Dogs may be man's best friend, but he's not what he needs to not be alone in this world. They're not even that great a friend to me. What he needs is a wife. And again, you see God's personal care and concern in his everyday life. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, of the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. That's next week, Lord willing. It was when God saw this man was willing to work and ready to do. It's when he saw the man was ready for marriage that he fulfilled the actions, that he fulfilled the need. We're called on to be men of God. I want you to find that godly woman. It's the only answer there is to you being alone in this world. But first, you got to be the man that God made the help suitable for. God didn't make this woman for just anybody. That's why we got to get past man being all of mankind and seeing Adam as the personal this man. God did not make this woman for just anybody that's walking around living and breathing. He didn't make this woman for just however Adam wanted to be. He made the help meet, the help suitable for the man that was doing the actions that God had called him to do. You cannot be looking for the godly wife until you're first the godly man. That's who woman is made for. Many times I hear men say, "I'm God's gift to women." False. There's not a man on this earth that can declare that, short of Jesus Christ himself. Woman was God's gift and the answer to our needs. She's the one to be treated as the prize. Not us. We've got to first be the man of God that he's called us to be, before we're ever going to find and be looking for the one God made for you. And I believe that. So y'all be thinking about it. Thank you. God bless.